Part 5. Tempest. In the midst of chaos, there is also opportunity. Sun Tzu. G-52. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. As Leisha reacted with something that sounded like the pained wail of an injured animal to the news of what Dan would soon learn were the only recorded violent deaths in the messenger's known history, the unprecedented and deeply saddening pseudo-vocalization upset everyone else wearing a patch almost as much as the news itself. Leisha wore an expression to match, which was a difficult thing for his friends to see.
Holy hell,
Tara sighed, covering her mouth in a horrified response to the news and almost too shaken by it to keep her language relatively clean in the presence of baby Piper. Emma glared at Tara for speaking out loud in Godfrey's unpatched presence, then resumed sending her thoughts to the others.
Is there any way you can make this all look like an accident?
She asked, taking both aliens aback.
Is there any way we can help you make that look like an accident? Because that's the kind of thing that causes problems that don't go away. These three trainees must have families, friends, colleagues, all of whom are going to be angry that they weren't just stopped, but killed.
No one replied.
Did the senior guys who did this take responsibility?
She went on.
Or is there any possibility we can clean things up? Okay, it's deceit, but this is an Il Diavolo kind of deal. When the truth could easily cost more lives, sometimes it's better to contain it until we have a way of managing the fallout. I'll do whatever you want to help, partly because I care about your world, but mainly because we need stability on New Kaer Galen if we're going to have any chance of having stability here and of making Piper better again.
Sacco was first to respond. Given the level of problems I anticipate in the fallout of today's events, I have no ethical opposition to what you suggest, he said.
Okay,
Emma said, perking up.
So what do you need me to?
But unfortunately, we are past that point, Sacco said, a deep glumness permeating the words as he interrupted Emma's offer. The light craft piloted by the trio who intended to cross the gate was openly shot down, and the group of former squadron leaders were responsible, have held their action up as a warning against further attempts to interfere with the gate. You know very well about the elderless power vacuum our world faced last year, when my own cast of interpreters had intense disagreements with the squadron, but things are now at new levels. Our caste system is a relic of the deception we wish to cleanse from our collective memory. So the strict delineation between specializations has broken down. With the abandonment of our caste system in the wake of the discoveries made in the past few weeks, more than a slight degree of order has been lost. Not until today did that present itself in a dangerous and unmanageable way, but the situation on New Kaer Galen as a whole is now very troublingly gearing towards the dangerous and unmanageable. Leisha closed his eyes, not sending any thoughts to anyone as Sacco delivered news that hit him like a brick to the skull. As for what you can do, Sacco continued. Emma, your place is here. But Dan, Tara, please know that I wouldn't ask if it wasn't necessary, but it is. Your dual presence on New Kaer Galen as a matter of urgency would be greatly appreciated as a way to remind our frightened and divided populace that we are not alone in the face of our challenges. You are seen as wise, patient, and selfless. Even a brief appearance to call for calm and downplay the threat posed by the gate would be of great help. Carefully chosen words could further reduce the distance between groupings that could otherwise polarize into binarily opposed factions, but your presence alone will keep a lid on things until we can formulate something more.
I don't know, Clark said. I don't like the sound of them going to New Kaer Galen while you have no societal order and a lack of discipline is creating a situation where rival groups are shooting each other out of the sky.
There would be absolutely no threat to them, Sacco insisted, his words and tone going beyond confidence and into the realm of true certainty.
But Clark, please understand the urgency of our situation. This isn't discontent simmering in the background like we experienced prior to their last visit. This is the closest thing to potentially widespread chaos and disorder that our planet has seen. Ever, as far as we know.
Like a civil war? Terra asked, remembering to do so silently this time, but hugely troubled by the thought.
On one hand, she really couldn't see herself accepting this request given how stark the situation on New Kerguelen sounded. Clark had put it bluntly, but it really did strike her as a situation worthy of the way he described it. She wouldn't ever consider visiting an area of Earth where competing groups were shooting each other out of the sky. So making a trip to a distant alien planet where the same thing had happened a matter of hours ago felt beyond the pale. On the other hand, however, Terra Ford had felt something special during her own trip to New Kerguelen, even though it was confined to the great shelter everyone had believed to be necessary at the time, and the image of countless young messengers frolicking just like human schoolchildren had stayed with her to this day. Her personal friendship with Leisha, who had always been just as keenly and lovingly interested in Piper, was a factor that made her consider risks that were on a level she would ordinarily have seen as more than sufficient to immediately rule a trip out. Most important, however, was the consideration about Piper herself. Whatever was happening on the other side of the gate, whether the architects were still there at all, and whether or not they had lost interest in one or both of New Kerguelen and Earth and their respective populations, Terra knew that Emma was right in her statement about the absolute requirement of a reasonable degree of peace and stability on New Kerguelen. Without that, it seemed inconceivable that a solution to the potentially grave problems and dangers posed by Piper's superhuman psychic abilities could be found in good time.
I wouldn't use the word war, Sacco said, replying to Terra's question. And nor is there a division quite so clear as to be worthy of the term civil war, even if we were seeing intense violence. There aren't yet firmly entrenched sides, since the news regarding our discovery of the gate is only hours old, and the deaths of the foolhardy trainees occurred even more recently. But tensions are high, and the divisions are forming. As you can imagine, some want to do whatever we can to destroy the gate to ensure that the architects can never return, while others want to consider things more carefully. Violent deaths are so completely unknown among our kind, there hasn't yet been any kind of violent response from the kin of the victims, and I don't expect any. Violence is alien to us in a way it is not to you. And I mean that with no disrespect, but I am far from complacent in this regard. We must act to ensure violence does not take root, not simply hope that it won't. Dan nodded. He had already pondered many of these considerations about the gate itself earlier in the day when Leisha first revealed the news to him and Terra, and he wasn't surprised to hear that the population of New Kerguelen was wrestling with it all too. Beyond the points about the rarity of violence within their society and their apparent lack of propensity to cyclically reciprocate when any occurred, the messengers really did have a lot in common with humans. Psychologically and intellectually, he reflected, even if they did tend to be slightly more reactive and less focused on abstract concepts or knock-on effects than they were on the immediately visible consequences of any given action. In the corner of Dan's vision, he saw Emma taking a few steps towards the couch. She was, in turn, reacting to William Godfrey's decision to take a seat and intently gaze up at the projector screen to take in the aftermath of his own highly public abduction from Buenos Aires. Godfrey was quite understandably frustrated by not being able to hear any of the conversation going on around him, and Emma found herself following his eyes to catch a glimpse of the latest footage. On the screen, she saw a replay of John Cole standing near the podium as he seemingly made a show of how not scared he was once almost everyone else had vacated the room. Security had since ushered everyone outside, including Cole to his evident, if somewhat exaggerated, chagrin. But the next images to fill the screen showed an ACN reporter on the street outside the building, above a headline of, "Cole to address media imminently." "Could you ask if they can cut the TV feeds and data signals to and from the area around the ICA building?"
Godfrey suddenly asked the aliens, his eyes narrow in deep thought. He addressed them directly, knowing they could understand him even although he, lacking a patch, wouldn't get any verbal reply.
If I was there, I could cut everything inside, but not on the street. That idiot looks like he's ready to steal my spotlight and say something that could destabilize this planet while everyone here seems to be worrying about yours.
No, Emma said, deciding of her own accord. Of course, Sacco and Leisha could have hypothetically cut all digital communication in the vicinity of the ICA building, given that it would only require the reversible destruction of some ground and satellite-based infrastructure, but she didn't see it as a sensible course of action.
The handful of media guys who have stayed behind would still hear what he said and report it as soon as they get back to somewhere with a live signal,
Emma went on, speaking directly to Godfrey. Unless you want to paralyze the whole region with an EMP, blocking signals wouldn't buy us any meaningful amount of time to try to explain this. The only way to stop him talking would be to take him. And then what?
Throw him into the sun, Godfrey shrugged. Emma, this isn't even personal. He's a threat to stability. A stitch in time saves nine, so let's stitch the idiot's mouth shut before it causes even more problems that we'll have to deal with.
Leisha and Sacco, both listening in to this conversation with enough attention to be interested in how Emma would react to Godfrey's latest suggestion, shared a glance before looking at her in anticipation of the reply.